welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we return to our series of the comedy that kept Americans smiling through the hard times of the Great Depression and World War II, with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Jim and Marion Jordan started as a vaudeville team and found nationwide success in radio when they met the third member of their partnership, writer Don Quinn, who made their talented voices sparkle with his absurdist humor. This week we have two episodes of Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The first one is The Circus Comes to Town. Did you know that Fibber used to work in the circus? Teenie, the little girl who turns the tables on the grown-ups, is played by Molly. There were other actors in the cast as well, including Bill Thompson and Isabel Randolph, who played multiple roles. This is Fibber, McGee, and Molly, The Circus Comes to Town, first broadcast May 28, 1940 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly, who join with our sponsors in urging you to support the Red Cross immediately and to the best of your ability. A donation to the Red Cross is an investment in humanity. Thank you. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber, McGee, and Molly with Bill Thompson and the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Why? Day in Westful Vista. The town is plastered with posters, and our hero is the proud possessor of two general admission tickets. He is all of a twitter to get going. And here, urging his better half to more speed, we find Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Oh, come on, Molly. I want to get to the circus and see that hula dancer shake it up.
What? Hey,
shake it up, Molly.
Now listen here. All right, dearie, all right. We've plenty of time.
No, we haven't. We're so late now, I better call a cab.
What, call a cab to go to a circus?
Why, certainly. Why not?
Well, it just doesn't seem the right spirit somehow. It's like wearing evening clothes to a fish fry.
Just the same, I ain't going to miss any of this circus by being late. Give me the phone. Hello, operator. Give me the whistle, Mr. Taxi. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh.
How's every little thing, Mert? Says, eh? What's that, Mert? Your aunt. Got beat up by your uncle, eh?
Oh, heavenly days. How brutal.
What do you mean, brutal? Her uncle got up first this morning and had the coffee all made by the time she was out of bed. What's that, Mert? Oh, no answer at the cab company, eh? Oh, he must be out. Okay, Mert. Thanks.
Well, I tell you, it'll do us good to walk here.
Boy, will I be glad to get a smell of a real circus again. It'll bring back the old days when I was a bull boss with the old Woggin Back and Hollis outfit.
Bull boss?
Yeah, in charge of the elephants.
Oh.
What'd you think I meant?
Well, not that.
Oh, Well, sir, I'll never forget one time we was playing in Punxsutawney.
Hello, daughter. Hello, Johnny. Say, where are you kids going to spend your summer vacation?
Well, we haven't decided yet, Mr. Oldtimer. Why?
Well, I just wanted to suggest the Canadian Rockies.
Why the Canadian Rockies?
Well, I got a nephew up there I'd kind of like to see again. Thought you might have room for me in the back seat, kid. I wouldn't be any trouble, honest. And I'm loads of fun.
Well, if we go that way, we'll let you know, Oldtimer. But I must say, you're the first living room hitchhiker I ever met.
That's very good.
Seeing that I'm in a liberal mood today, Johnny, I'd say that was pretty good. But it ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, "Hey, man. Looks like television is really here, don't it? Imagine seeing and hearing programs hundreds of miles away." "Yep," says t'other feller, "and you can smell some of them even farther than that." Nothing personal, kid.
Well, thank you.
Now, don't forget, if you go to the Canadian Rockies this summer, I'm going along. And you'll never regret it till it's too late. Well, so long, kid.
Come on, hurry up, will you, Molly? I got to...
Well, I am hurrying,
well,
McGee.
Get...
My goodness, anybody think you never saw a circus
well.
Before? Say, incidentally, how much did the ticket set you back?
Not a dime. Not a thin, shiny, well-worn dime, baby. I got these tickets the easy way. Professional curtsy.
Meaning what?
Well, you see, it was this way. I agreed... Oh, shucks, we'll never get to the circus this way.
No.
Come in.
I'm going to the circus, I'm going to the circus,
wait a minute. What are you so excited about, Gildersleeve? So are we going to the circus.
Well, I wish I could be as enthusiastic as you two. To me, a circus is just a number two road company of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Is that so? Well, I don't care so much about the animals. But, oh boy, do I like those trapeze performers.
Yeah, and the trick riding.
And the tightrope walkers.
Yeah.
Gee, I love tightrope walkers. When they jump up on a rope like this and balance.
Get down off of the back of that Davenport, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You're a hard woman, Mrs. McGee.
Hey, Gildy.
What?
You got tickets or are you going to crawl under the tent?
Well, I got tickets, but I got a good notion to crawl under the tent anyway. Just for old time's sake, McGee.
Yeah, me too. How about it, Molly? You game to
try? No. No, I'm not. If you two want to act like you're still wearing short pants, don't expect me to act the same. Oh! Oh, dear.
That's all right, Mrs. McGee. I didn't get it.
Well, you coming along with us, Gilly?
No, thanks. I like to prowl around alone.
Oh.
You know, last year I walked right up and talked to one of the lady acrobats.
No, did you, honest?
I sure did, McGee.
Gee,
she was pretty. I still got a spangle she dropped off her dress. Look.
Oh, boy, what do you want for it?
What'll you give me?
Oh, yeah. Heavenly days. Come on, McGee, I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. This way, Gildersleeve.
Where are you going, McGee?
Out the back door.
What's the matter with the front door?
Won't open.
Why not, McGee?
Got circus posters plastered all over it.
What?
What? Fibber McGee, what on earth?
Now, wait a minute, Molly. It was just a professional curtsy. You don't think they give me these two tickets for nothing, do you?
Street in every city, there are cars right now that need Johnson's Car New. Cars that look dull and dingy because their owners still think it's expensive or hard work to clean and wax polish them. Now, before Johnson Chemist developed the sensational Car New, this was true. But today, with Car New, you can both clean and wax polish your car in one easy operation. Two jobs at one and the same time, in half the time it used to take. Every housewife knows how Johnson's self-polishing glow coat has taken the labor out of floor polishing. And soon, every car owner will know how Car New has taken both the hard work and the high cost out of car polishing. Carnu is a liquid. You simply apply it with a cloth, massaging the finish gently. It dries to a white powder. Wipe off the powder, and you'll say with thousands of other car owners from coast to coast, your car looks like new when you use Carnu. Buy a can right away from your regular wax dealer, auto supply store, or service station.
Hey, Molly, I'm going to buy a toy whip.
What for?
I don't know. I always buy a toy whip.
All right,
I guess...
folks, step right up and quench your thirst with nice, fresh glass of Punk lemonade. It reads refreshing, exhilarating, stimulating. Get your Punk lemonade here. Punk lemonade, get it? Get
hey,
it.
Hey, Punk. Bud, you mean pink lemonade, don't you?
You tried it, folks?
No, we haven't.
Get your Punk lemonade here. Punk lemonade, get it?
Where the guy is who sells the toy whips. I think I'll get one with a red tassel. I had one last...
Hi, mister. Hi.
Oh, hello there, little girl. Ain't lost, are you?
No, are you?
No. Now, don't tell me you're here all alone.
All righty. I won't say a word about it, I bet
you. What? You mean you are?
No.
No what?
Hmm?
Are you here all alone or not?
No. I came with my daddy.
Oh.
He's over there buying some cotton candy.
You like cotton candy?
No. No, but he does.
Oh, I see. Well, this must be a great day for you, sis, coming to a big circus like this. Pretty exciting, ain't it?
Oh, I don't know, mister. The same old stuff. But my daddy gets such a bang out of it, I pretend I love it. Personally, I'd rather stay home with a good book any day.
Well, that's very tactful of you, sis. I hope you'll always try to be a pal to your old man.
Oh, sure. He's a trial at times, but as a rule, he's pretty good. What I always say is, I wouldn't take $1,000,000 for him or give you a dime for another one. Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter, sis?
There's my daddy eating another hamburger.
Huh?
He's gonna make himself sick eating all that junk. Daddy! Daddy, put that down this minute.
Parents must be a great responsibility to a little squirt like that, eh, Molly?
Yes, they must be.
Yeah.
From what I can judge, a father may bring his little boy out to the circus, but it takes a circus to bring out the little boy in the father.
All right, folks. Only a dime, 10 cents, to see Osteo, the human skeleton, who stands 6 feet high in his overcoat and weighs only 47 pounds in his stocking feet. See Osteo, the human skeleton, otherwise known as Benny the Bag of Bones.
Oh,
step right up, folks.
Yeah,
step right up there.
Hey, Molly, let's go in and see the human skeleton.
Well, all right, if you want to, but to me, no thin man is any good without Werner Loy.
Hey, Bud, 2 tickets, please.
Thank you, brother, thank you. And if you'll step right in, the lecture is about to begin.
Look at the crowd, would you? What's that automobile got to do with a human skeleton?
I don't know, but he's skinny enough to double as a windshield wiper.
All right, folks, if you'll give me your kind attention, take a good look at Osteo, the human skeleton. But don't crowd him, please. Osteo is easily rattled. Ha, ha! Rattle for the folks, Osteo. Thank you, thank you. And now we will show you how the human skeleton got himself into this deplorable condition. Proceed, Osteo.
Well, look, McGee, he's polishing the automobile.
Exactly, and polishing it the old-fashioned way. That's what happened to Benny the Bag of Bones, folks. Wore himself to a shadow, trying to restore the finish on his automobile with an inferior hard-rubbing cleaner and polish. Now, if he'd only used the new and sensational Johnson's Carnu, the double-action, easy-to-use product that cleans and polishes at the same time, he would no doubt have been as fat and sassy as any of us here today. Because... excuse me a minute, folks. Hey, buddy.
Who me. Well, what you want?
Hey, stick around, pal. Huh? After this lecture, we put on a special show in the rear tent for men only. 25 cents extra.
Oh boy. For men only, huh?
Yeah.
What kind of a show is it, Bud?
You can see the human skeleton polish a trailer.
I intended to do. Oh, yeah, buy a toy whip. Wonder where the guy is that sells the toy whip.
Oh, you don't want any of those silly things, McGee. I won't let you spend your money for such fools.
Excuse me, brother, but aren't you Fibber McGee?
Huh? Well, if it ain't my old pal Buster Dawson.
Who's Buster Dawson?
Oh, he's this fella right here. Well, I'm glad to see you again, Buster. This is my wife, Molly.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Howdy, ma'am. Any wife of McGee's is a friend of mine.
Well, what you doing around here, Buster, old topper?
Oh, didn't you know? I own this circus. Have you folks seen the performance yet?
Well, not as yet, no, Mr. Dawson.
No.
Well, be glad to have you as my guest.
Oh.
Just ask the usher to take you to the owner's box.
Oh, certainly appreciate this, Buster.
Oh, not at all, not at all, McGee. If you have any trouble, just yell for my head roustabout, Slugs McGinty.
Slugs McGinty. Ah, there's a fine old aristocratic name. Old Mayflower stock, I presume?
No, old cauliflower.
Buster, you.
Me and Buster here used to be in the circus business together, Molly. I can't remember right now whether he worked for me or whether I worked for him, but we was in the same outfit for years. Wasn't we, Buster?
Yep, and you worked for me, McGee.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I did at that.
Well, now, isn't that nice?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We always used to say that nobody could clean a cage like young Ratface. Remember how we used to call you Rat Face, McGee?
Well, a great bunch of kidders, them guys, Molly.
Well, McGee, I've got to go check up on
the... Hey, Molly, look. There's Mrs. Uppington.
Well, what on earth is she doing at a circus?
I'll bet she's going to take a lesson from the camels in how to look supercilious.
Say, that the lady you're talking about over there?
Yeah.
She looks sort of familiar to me.
She'd look familiar to anybody who'd ever open up a can of prunes. I never saw such an old pickle. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? So nice to see you.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee? And Mr. McGee.
Hi, Uppy.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a circus. A great gay, isn't it?
You mean to say you've never been to a circus before, Uppy?
She travels with her own, McGee.
Huh?
3 rings under each eye. Just kidding, Mrs. Uppington.
Oh, certainly, my dear. I always consider the thaw.
Wow.
Oh, but isn't this interesting? I have just begun to realize what I've been missing all these years. What with my sheltered childhood and strict upbringing, I... Mr. McGee, aren't you forgetting something?
Where's your social graces, McGee?
Huh?
Give Mrs. Uppington a knockdown to Mr. Dawson.
Oh, excuse me. Mrs. Uppington, I'd like to have you meet an old pal of mine, Buster Dawson.
This is Mrs. Abigail Uppington, Mr. Dawson. She's the hot air in our social register.
How do you do, Mr. Dawson? Charmed, I'm sure.
Mrs. Abigail Uppington, eh? What are you trying to do, Pippa? Kid me? Social leader? Oh, that's a hot one.
Paul, I consider that you owe me an apology.
Oh, lay off, Toots. You're killing me.
What? Toots?
What do you mean, Buster?
Why, don't you recognize her, McGee?
Huh?
Oh, no, I guess she was before your time. Why, when I knew her, she was Mademoiselle Tootsie Latour, Queen of the Bareback Riders. Hey, Toots?
Well, for heavenly days.
I deny everything.
I always wondered how she could stay up on her high horse without being trained for it.
Oh, why don't you break down, Tootsie? You got nothing to be ashamed of. Why, you were the second best rider under canvas.
Second best? And who was better than I? What am I saying?
Uppy, as the cook said to the waiter when he spilled the beans, I guess you've spilled the beans.
Well, really, this is most embarrassing. You never could keep your trap shut, Buster Dawson.
How did you ever come to leave the circus, Abigail?
Well, one night I was doing my double backflip through 3 paper hoops to a handstand, and something frightened my horse, and I landed on a gentleman's lap in the reserved seat.
No wonder she's always acted so chilly, Molly. She's a Laplander.
And then what? What happened, Mrs. Uppington? I mean, Toots.
That gentleman, my dear, was Mr. Uppington. He proposed to me the moment they revived him. Oh, how I long to be out there again, doing my triple forward somersault over four white horses. Maybe I could fall in love with another gentleman like Mr. Uppington. Or am I just being a silly girl? Oh, well, goodbye, my dear. Goodbye, Mr. McGee. And so long, Buster, you rat.
The King's Men present The Singing Hills.
A singing hill, a singing tonight. An echoing a song of long ago. A singing hill, we're singing that night. That lovely night you said I love you so. The wind in the valley joined in our sweet refrain. But now the wind and I each night we cry, come back again,
come back again, come back again.
Though you are gone, the song lingers on, still echoing among the singing hills. That magic night of thrills still echoes through the hills. From far away, I hear you say, I love you so.
Here's the big tent. I'll have to ask an usher where Dawson's private box is, I guess.
Ah, there. Good day, my dear. And hello to you, Windsock.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Boomer?
Hi, Boomer. What you doing here?
Got a temporary appointment as deputy sheriff, Cornpone. I'm the pickpocket detail.
Oh.
Imagine me on the pickpocket detail. As if picking pockets was ever anything but a detail to me.
So you're a sheriff, eh? Let's see your badge, Boomer.
Quiet little skeptic, aren't you?
You betcha.
Also spelled without the K. Now, let me see. What did I do with that badge? Shall we begin, Begin?
Yes, Goon.
Beg pardon?
Yes, Goon.
You read that wrong, Molly. It says, yes, go on.
Oh.
Thank you. Now, let me see. Where did I put that sheriff's badge? Had it right here a minute ago. Badge, badge, badge. Here's my little Swiss watch. I think it's a Swiss watch. Fellow certainly yodeled when I took it. Snapshot of Billy Rose's aquacade. Never saw so many chorus girls in one dive in my life. The handful of upset diamonds. No, no, I mean unset. It was the jeweler who was upset. Here's an old passport of mine. I was quite a wealthy man when I first came to this country. Had 53 pieces of luggage.
Heavenly days. 53 pieces.
Yes, indeed. Deck of cards and a blackjack. Ah, what's the yes, oh yes. The inevitable check for an abbreviated beer. Oh, well, imagine that. No deputy sheriff's badge. I've been robbed. Help, police, deputy sheriff, somebody get him. Help.
That guy's as crooked as a snake's hind leg.
Dog's hind leg, dearie.
I know, but I like dogs. Oh, well, let's go on in, Molly. Imagine us sitting right in the owner's private box.
General admission tickets, please.
Oh, here you are, bud. Come on, Molly.
Well, listen now. How do we find Mr. Dawson's private box?
Oh, we'll find it. If not, we can always ask for Spuds or Chug or Thug. What did he say that guy's name was?
Well, I don't remember. Ask the usher.
Oh, hey, usher, where's Mr. Dawson's private box?
Right here, mister. First box on the left.
Oh, thank you. Oh, aren't these lovely seats, dearie?
Yes, sir. Some stuff, huh? Best in the house. Well, it sure pays to have friends, don't it, Molly? It
certainly does.
Won't be long now.
All right, you two. Out of them seats, them's reserved for the boss.
Now, listen, it's all right, boy. We're Mr. Dawson's guests.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me see your pass.
I ain't got a pass, bud. Me and Buster's old pal.
Sure.
I used to know him way back in the
old... Come on. Quit stalling out of them seats.
Now, wait a minute, bud. Don't get so tough. You can't throw us out of here.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, who's going to stop me? You or who else?
Me and who else? Who's that fella Buster told us he yelled for? Oh, yeah. Me and McGillicuddy, that's who. Hey, McGillicuddy!
I'm not scared of you and all your friends. Now get out of that box before I drag you.
McGee, maybe we better go back and...
Now, don't worry, Molly. I know how to handle this. Hey, McGillicuddy! No, that's not it. Hey, McGonagall, I need you.
All right, cut off that yelling. You're creating a disturbance.
Hey, McGarity.
I warned you to pipe down. Now take this.
See here, mister, stop that this instant.
Yeah, cut that out. Oh, McGinnis. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. For heaven's sakes, McGee, quick. Think of that man's name.
Oh, I got it. I remember now. Hey, that read it. I forgot it again.
All right, scram, stupid.
I won't do it. Hey, McGibney, McSweeney, McDonald, McCushla.
Now listen, Tommy. You're getting in my hair.
McGuire. McCoy. McBride.
Oh, McGee.
McGee. No, that's me. McNutt. McGowan.
Well, I guess I gotta show you I'm me. Business.
Oh, dear. You poor dear.
Now take him away, lady. That'll teach him to get fresh with slugs, McGinty.
McGinty!
McGinty, that's it! Hey, McGinty!
Bibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. For more than 50 years, the makers of Johnson's Wax have done their best to provide their customers with the finest polishes that can be made. Scientists are constantly at work in the Johnson Wax laboratories, developing new products, perfecting old ones. When you buy any one of the famous Johnson Wax polishes, you know that you'll be getting complete satisfaction. Before any new product is offered for sale, it's thoroughly tested, both in the laboratory and by hundreds of users. From one end of this country to the other, we can almost say from one end of the world to the other, you'll find the most particular housewives depending on Johnson's Wax and the other fine Johnson Wax polishes to keep their homes beautifully clean and shining with the least possible effort and expense. It most certainly pays you to insist on the genuine Johnson's Wax products in their attractive packages. These products include genuine Johnson's Wax, paste or liquid, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat for floors and linoleum, Johnson's Car New for automobiles, Johnson's Cream Wax Furniture Polish.
Well, you still think circuses are fun, McGee?
Sure I do, in spite of everything. Brings back the old days, Molly.
That's right. You used to be with the circus, huh?
Sure. I'm an old lion tamer.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you ever quit?
I ran out of old lions.
Good night. Good night, all.
Paul Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
You Can't Brush Me Off is from Louisiana Purses. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have an episode of Fibber, McGee, and Molly that finds Fibber feeling under the weather. Bill Thompson plays the old-timer and many other roles. And Marion Jordan, who also plays Molly, is the little girl Teenie. Writer Don Quinn's sparkling wit shines through this hilarious episode. Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly, Fibber Feels Ill. First broadcast April 6th, 1943 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. They say that in the spring, a young man's fancy. But while this is spring, the squire of 79 Wistful Vista is not as young as he was and consequently doesn't feel so fancy. In fact, he feels awful. So hold your diagnosis for the next half hour and get a load of Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
McGee, what's the matter with you today? You've been grumping around here like a centipede with bunions.
I don't know. I just don't feel good. I think I'm coming down with something.
Yes, and I know what you're coming down with, too.
You do?
Yes, you're coming down with a rug out of the upstairs hall and beat it out in the backyard.
No, I'm not. I'm too sick for that stuff. No kidding. I got no pep today. I'm not good for anything.
Ah, go on. You've just got an acute attack of honesty, dearie.
Huh?
What are your symptoms, if any?
Well, I'll give them to you alphabetically. A, I'm all wore out. B, I'm bushed. C, I got chills. D, I'm dead. E, I got no energy. And F, I need a physician.
Have you got a headache?
No, I haven't. The worst thing I got is no pep. I've got no energy. I just want to sit down and rest all the time. What's the matter with me anyway?
Oh, I think it's just temporary. You've only felt that way for 25 years. It'll go away.
I think I ought to have a doctor.
Nonsense. Go out and take a walk or take a nap in the porch swing or maybe mow the lawn.
Well, mow the lawn, she says. You trying to kill me? Anyway, I ain't got enough energy to do any work. No sleep, for one thing. Uncle Dennis woke me up last night when he come home from that bakery at 4 a.m.
How do you know he was at the bakery?
Well, he was pie-eyed again.
Now, listen, don't pick on Uncle Dennis. He had a great sorrow once in 1924, and he can't forget it.
You mean the time his wife ran away with a sewing machine salesman?
Yes.
I thought she came back.
That's his sorrow.
I got my own troubles. My legs are so much like rubber, I feel unpatriotic every time I take an extra step. Look, Molly, call Doc Gamble for me,
will you? No, I won't, McGee. Doctors are too busy these days to make unnecessary calls.
It don't have to be a business call. Ask him over for dinner. We're having chicken anyway.
Fibber, McGee, if you think I'm going to ask Dr. Gamble over for dinner just so you can wheedle a little free medical advice out of him, what's his number?
Give me the phone. I'll call him myself.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me Dr. Gamble in the medical and loans on your signature alone building. I think the number is 8654. Goodness sakes, is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? It is, eh? What's say, Mert? Your mother. She beat the rap, eh?
Heavenly days, McGee. What happened?
Her mother bought an evening wrap and had to hurry home before it was delivered. What's say, Mert? Well, I'll call him later. Thanks, Mert.
Doctor's out, I guess.
Good. Now, why don't you go out and lie on the porch swing until dinner time, or just take a good rest for yourself, dear?
Oh, I tried that. Those doggone robins make so much noise I couldn't sleep a wink. I'm just a bundle of nerves, I guess. You suppose I got what...
Come in. Well, Abigail Lovington. Hello, darling.
How do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Abigail. Don't get too close to me. I think I'm coming down with some topical disease.
You mean tropical, dearie?
Yes. Topical means talked about.
Well, then he's right, Abigail. He's talked about nothing else.
Okay. Scoff if you want to. Deride. But when I'm laying there in bed with specialists from all over the world conferring in whispers outside my door, don't think you can square yourself with me by bringing over a jelly jar made homie. I mean a homo gel made jar, a jet of jelly. You know what I mean!
He does seem a bit upset, my dear. What do you suppose is the matter with him?
Oh, just spring, I think, Abigail. Everybody gets it. I went around all day yesterday with a dull headache.
Oh, where did you and Mr. McGee go?
Oh, I didn't mean that, Abigail.
Let me tell you my symptoms, Uppy. I got no pep. I got no energy. I want to sleep all the time. Can't hardly keep my eyes open. No ambition. All the time drowsy. My shoes keep falling off.
Ooh, they're not laced up.
Oh. Then, too, my eyes keep watering.
I told you not to smoke those cigars so short.
What do you think it is, Uppy? Malaria?
Oh, no, Mr. McGee. I don't think so. I think you will always be immune to malaria.
Why, Willie, Abigail?
Malaria is carried by mosquitoes, my dear. And Mr. McGee is too thick-skinned to tempt a mosquito.
Gee, thanks, Uppy. You're not just saying that because you admire me.
No, Mr. McGee. But I think I know exactly the treatment for you.
Well, what should he do, Abigail? Take sulfur and molasses?
No, but when he gets up in the morning, he should take 20 aspirin tablets.
My gosh, 20 aspirin tablets? How do I take them?
Take them out in the backyard, throw them one by one over the roof, and then run around the house and try to catch them.
Oh, you think the exercise will do him good?
My dear, he'll be a different man. And what a civic improvement that will be. Well, goodbye.
Hey, Molly.
Yes, McGee?
Well, try and get Doc Gamble again, will you? I feel awful.
Oh, all right. What's his number?
8654. I'd call him myself, but I haven't got the strength to hold a receiver.
I know. Mm-hmm. You've worn yourself to a frazzle holding up that Christmas number of Esquire all afternoon.
Well, there's some very interesting stories in it, they say.
Quiet a minute. Hello, operator. Give me Wistful Vista 8654. What? Oh, how do you do, Myrtle?
Ask her, how's every little thing, Myrtle?
How's every little thing, Myrtle? It is? What's that, Myrtle? Your cousin Myra. Had the hiccups for 7 weeks.
My gosh, why didn't they do something about it?
Well, they didn't know she had them. She's a riveter. Yes. What, Myrtle? Oh, thank you. She's ringing Dr. Gamble's office now, McGee.
Tell him we're having fried chicken.
The poor lad. I guess he could use a good home cook. Hello? Is Dr. Gamble there? Well, this is Mrs. McGee. Will you tell Doctor that we want him for dinner tonight?
Yeah, he'll look good on a platter with an apple in his mouth.
Yes. You tell him to get here whenever it's convenient. Yes, he knows where it is. Thank you. Well, his office nurse said she thought he'd love it, McGee.
Why, sure he'll love it, particularly fried chicken. Doctors get so they think the only bird in the world is a stork. Gee, I wish I had some pep. I feel like I'd been drugged through a knothole. I never thought I'd ever feel... Wonder if that's a doctor already. Come in.
Say, he couldn't hear that if he had his stethoscope at the keyhole. Come in.
Hello there, kid.
Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi. Understand from Mrs. Uppington that Johnny here's got the pip, daughter. That's why I come over.
Oh, I think it's just a touch of spring, Mr. Oldtimer. He just has a feeling of lassitude.
Yeah, and my longitude ain't so hot either.
Well, I just thought I'd drop over and give you Grandma's recipe for a spring fever, kid.
Doggone it, I haven't got spring... I don't think that's it, Oldtimer. I'm just sick. I got no pep. I got no energy.
What is your grandmother's recipe, Mr. Oldtimer?
Well, sir, daughter, it's been in our family for generations. Handed down from mother to daughter. Daughter to daughter. Daughter to son. Son to uncle. Uncle to sister. Sister to brother. Brother to cousin. Cousin to aunt. Aunt to nephew. And nephew gave it back to grandma, who was so sick of hearing about the darn thing, she tore it up.
Well, I don't want any of your corny old homemade remedies anyway.
Put your back on your feet again, Johnny.
I don't want to get back on my feet.
No, that looks bad, daughter.
What does?
Well, it's kind of a case when the patient don't want to be helped. Then he just lets himself go to pot, which I can see that Johnny's doing even with that double-breasted coat on. Why, Johnny, you've got no cause to give up. You're young. I'm twice your age.
Twice my age? You're 9 times my age. Is it true that Captain John Smith beat your time with Pocahontas?
That's a nasty falsehood, Johnny. Just because a feller gives a gal some chewing tobacco now and then don't mean he's serious. Them Indians talk too much. What I was going to say is I'm twice your age. I'm in better shape than you are.
Well, neither one of you has any shape to brag about.
I can still jump up in the air and crack my heels together 3 times. Look it.
Oh, heavenly days, what a fall. Are you all right, Mr. Oldtimer?
Yes, I guess so, daughter. And Johnny, you keep lying down and take it easy, Johnny. We ain't as young as we were, you know. So long, kid.
Gosh, I'm tired.
Yes, I know, dearie. I've heard you mention it. And I'll have to admit you don't look sick, though.
I don't, really?
No, you don't. You merely look like a fellow... Oh, heavenly days, there's a doctor now, and me in a house dress. You entertain him, dearie, while I put my face on.
Okay. Ah, there's a good kid. Pretty worried about me, too. Kidding me to keep up her spirits. Come in, doctor.
Hi, mister.
Oh, for the... So it's you, is it, sis?
Sure it is, I betcha. Who'd you think?
I was expecting the doctor.
Oh, who's sick, mister?
I am.
Oh, yeah?
Look, sis, if I wasn't a sick man, I'd leap up off of this Davenport and give you a burst of applause with one hand. I'm in no mood to fiddle the faddle with you today.
Gee, mister, don't you like little children?
Yes, I like little children. But there's a time and a place for everything. And it's time you got out of this place.
Okay, mister. But, gee, I was awful lonesome on account of Willie Toops has got the mumps, and I thought maybe you'd tell me a story or something.
Okay. Cut it out. You know I can't stand to see a woman weep. If I tell you a story, will you paddle your little pumps out of here?
Sure I will, I bet you. Cross my heart and kiss the milkman.
What does that mean, cross your heart and kiss the milkman?
I don't know, mister. My mama's been saying that ever since we ran out of butter a couple weeks ago.
Well, now, let me see. Oh, look, sis, did I ever tell you how the tiger got his stripes?
No, mister.
Well, it's a very, very snappy hunk of folklore, sis. Once upon a time, thousands of years ago, in India, there was a tiger named Joe. A very, very smart tiger, too.
A Princeton tiger, huh?
You didn't interrupt. Well, sir, one day as Joe was walking through the jungle looking for his mate...
And potatoes.
No, not mate and potatoes. Just his mate, Lady Tiger. As Joe was walking along, he passed the village and saw a barber standing outside of a barber shop. A nice, fat barber.
Oh.
So Joe says to himself, he says, ha, 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 breakfast. So he sneaks along on his stomach. All of a sudden, he leaps at the barber.
Oh, boy.
But the barber sees him just in time, and he ducks behind the barber pole. And Joe was going too fast to stop, and gulp, he swallowed the barber pole by mistake. And ever since then, all tigers have wore stripes. They all wear stripes now to remind them not to act so hasty. Was that a good story?
No.
Huh?
In the first place, mister, everybody knows that by natural mutation, the tiger develops stripes for protective coloration to blend imperceptibly with the surroundings of their natural habitat. Huh? So don't give me that barber pole malarkey. No. As a frank buck, you're spent. So long, mister.
Hey, Molly, Doc Gamble is here. Open the door, will you? I'm too weak to get up.
All right, Mickey, you just lie still and be good to your arteries.
Well, hello, Dr. Gamble. I'm so glad you could come.
Good evening, Mrs. McGee. Mighty nice of you to invite me. Gave me an excuse to avoid a lecture tonight on the evolution of bone structure in the lesser mammals by a man I went to medical school with.
Oh.
All he knows about bones your fox terrier could bury in a flower pot. You're looking very well, Mrs. McGee.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I'm fine. You know, I haven't had a cold since you painted my throat 2 months ago.
Oh, I'm a wonderful throat painter. In the medical world, I'm known as the Rembrandt of the epiglottis.
Hi, Doc.
Well, I didn't see you there, McGee. You're looking very well, too, my boy.
I am?
He is?
Yes, indeed. The picture of health.
Oh.
And I'm glad to see you relaxing there on the Davenport, McGee.
Huh?
Keep that up and you'll live to be 120.
Huh?
You can't burn the candle at both ends without making a double drip of yourself.
Doctor.
Is there much sickness around now, Doc? Like malaria and stuff?
Oh, nothing extraordinary, McGee.
Uh-huh.
Well, where's this fried chicken, Mrs. McGee?
I'll go out and see how it's coming along, Doctor. McGee, you entertain Dr. Gamble. Excuse me a minute, boys.
Well, Doc, I guess you didn't expect to find me in this condition, did you?
No, sir, I certainly didn't, McGee. Healthiest-looking man in town. How do you do it? Just learn to take things easy, huh? Well, that's marvelous. Yes, sir?
As a matter of fact, Doc, I've been kind of off my feet.
Good, good for you, good for you. More people die of overeating than traffic accidents anyway. You're very wise, McGee. Been a lot of graves dug with a knife and fork.
Mm.
I always say...
Would you mind answering the door, Doc? I got no pep. I got no energy.
Well, who wants energy? Just wears you out before your time. Besides, no use leaping around answering doorbells when you can holler. Forget your legs and use your lungs. Come in!
Well, thanks, Doc.
Hello, Mr. McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee. Oh, excuse me.
Hi, Wimp, old man. Wimp, this is Dr. Gamble. Doc, shake hands with Wallace Wimple.
How do you do, Doc?
Delighted, Mr. Wimple. Very interesting contusion you have on your lower maxillary. Wife take a poke at you?
Yes.
McGee, did I hear the doorbell ring? Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. I won't bother you but just a minute. I only wanted to know if I could borrow your stepladder.
Why, certainly, Mr. Wimple. Get it for him, McGee.
I ain't got the strength, Molly. You can get it, Wimp. It's right on the back porch.
That's the spirit, McGee. Conserve your strength. Hanging some wallpaper, Mr. Simple?
Wimple, Doctor.
Oh, excuse me.
I just wanted the ladder on account of Sweetie Face.
Sweetie Face? Your dog?
Sweetie Face is his wife, Doc.
Oh, excuse me.
Now, what about Sweetie Face, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, we got into a little argument this morning, Mrs. McGee, up in the attic. She was practicing some jujitsu holds on me, and my foot slipped out from under my arm and hit her in the nose.
Well, then what happened, Wimp, if you can bear the memory of it?
Oh, she made a lunge at me, Mr. McGee. Only I dodged, and she went right through the window. She just caught hold of the windowsill in time, or she'd have fallen 3 floors.
Well, how could a frail little man like you haul her back in, Mr. Waffle?
Wimple.
Oh, excuse me.
And I didn't haul her in. She's still hanging there.
Since this morning?
Why, how could she hang on that long, Wimp?
Oh, I fixed that, Mr. McGee. I slammed the window down and pinned her hands to the windowsill.
Well, that's very interesting. Gonna use the ladder to get her down, huh?
No, I'm gonna climb up on the roof and pull the ladder up after me. Sooner or later, Sweetie Face is gonna work loose and then... Oh, my. Thank you, Mr. Good night, folks.
Brutal little family, isn't it? Well, is that fried chicken nearly ready, Mrs. McGee?
In just a few minutes, Doctor. I just took the biscuits out of the oven. Better go comb your hair, McGee.
Oh, I don't want any dinner, Molly. I got no pep. I got no energy. Maybe you can bring me some stuff on a tray.
Oh, no, I'll do no such a thing, McGee. Come on, get up.
Oh, don't talk like that, my dear. He's very intelligent. He's relaxing.
No, I'm not, Doc.
You're not?
Now, McGee, you...
Well, promise. Doc's interested, aren't you, Doc?
In what?
My case. You see, Doc, I got no pep. I got no energy. Ever since I got up this morning, I've been feeling dopey.
McGee, you're wonderful.
Huh?
You've just diagnosed your own case better than a staff of specialists.
You mean I'm just naturally a doctor?
No, I mean you're just naturally dopey. Well, is that chicken...
April being the month of showers, it's also the month when wet feet come tracking across that kitchen floor of yours. The question is, have you protected the linoleum against that dirt and moisture with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat? If you have, then you can relax when those soggy shoes and wet, muddy rubbers come tramping in. The linoleum is safe, and it won't be much work to make your floor spotless again. Soil spots are quickly wiped up with a damp cloth. Johnson's Glow Coat is the easy-to-use floor polish, needs no rubbing or buffing. And in times like these, it renders extra assistance because self-polishing glow coat makes linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer than an unprotected surface.
Do you feel any better since you had your dinner, McGee?
No, I can't say I do. I should have stayed lying down on the Davenport.
I thought that's where you were. What were you doing?
I've been upstairs. I was reading in What to Do Till the Doctor Comes about my case, but it didn't work.
What didn't work?
Well, it says to take a hot foot bath, but every time I stepped in the tub, the match went out.
Oh, dear.
That's what I say. Good night.
Good night, all.
Characters of the old-timer and Wallace Wimple heard on this program were played by Bill Thompson. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to join us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.